Good morning, and welcome to the Wednesday, October 29th edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and today's date is Thursday, October 30th, 2025. Top of the front page, we have coverage of the recent Sydney American Legion Post meeting, where they discussed upcoming meetings and events. This article by our correspondent, Ann Roten. The last meeting of the Sydney American Legion Post 433 was on Monday, October 20th, at the Post home at 221 South David Street in downtown Sydney. Commander Bill Hench brought the meeting to order, and noted that 12 members were in attendance, including one guest. Commander Bill Hench additionally thanked our correspondent, Ann Roten, for attending. Hench asked members if they had read the Monday, September 15th meeting minutes that had been emailed or mailed. There were no additions or corrections, and the meeting minutes were approved. There was no American Legion Illinois Premier Boys State Committee report. Service Officer Bill McLean reported that he had counted the poppies left over from this year's poppy distribution to see if there were enough for next year's distribution, and concluded that he will need to order up to 2,000 new poppies for next year's poppy distribution. It was determined that McLean should order them, and no motion was needed. Adjutant McLean also reported that the Post has 53 members and that they will be losing two members down to 51 at the end of the year due to the death of a member and a member who is not renewing. McLean reported that he had nothing further to report. Sick call relief and employment issues were also discussed. McLean reported that the next American Legion meeting will be hosted by the Homer American Legion Post 290 on October 23rd at 7 p.m. at the Homer Fire Station. McLean additionally reported that the 19th District Membership Caravan will come through Sydney and stop at the Sydney American Legion Post on Saturday, November 1st at noon to collect membership cards from both the Sydney American Legion Post and the Post Auxiliary. Hench then asked if the Post needed to have food in place for the caravan. This was not known, so he will check into whether or not food is needed. Post members were all asked to be at the Post on Saturday, November 1st at noon to meet up with the caravan. McLean then gave a cost presentation to replace the Post home building's boiler under old business. The boiler replacement cost is $12,594, and that expenditure was approved. McLean stated that he thought it would take a day to replace it, the boiler. McLean then reported that there was no new information concerning the Sydney Veterans Memorial. Discussion concerning whether or not Commander Hench needs to have a conversation with one of the landowners in town, that the Post was putting out feelers about possibly building the memorial on that resident's land, and it was noted that if that approach was not successful, that the only recourse would be to go back to the original location for the memorial on the east side of the Sydney Community Building. It was also noted that the design of the memorial would need to be much smaller than the current design to fit into that space, and McLean reported that he believed that Adams Memorials are already looking into a smaller design. First Vice Commander Glenn Dillman then reported that the Autumn Fields in Savoy Veterans Breakfast was scheduled for October 21st. Judge Advocate Susan McLean read the official notice of intent letter that the Sydney American Legion Post is sending to the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees, stating that the village has no future claim on the Sydney American Legion Post building at 221 South David Street, effective October 31st, as the five-year contractual agreement with the Village of Sydney, stating that the American Legion Post must first offer to sell the building back to the Village of Sydney for $1 in the event that they decided that they wanted to sell the building within the 5 years of purchasing it for $1 from the Village of Sydney. That agreement expires on October 31st. The American Legion Post desires to have it on record with the Village of Sydney that the building is officially owned by the American Legion with no contractual agreements. The notice of intent letter is to be signed by the Post Commander Bill Hench and the Village of Sydney Clerk Ashley Reinhardt. Judge Advocate Susan McLean will take care of getting the letter to the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees and having it signed by the Village of Sydney Clerk. It was reported that Unity East Elementary will host their annual Thanksgiving Luncheon and Veterans Day program on Friday, November 7th, and that the Sydney American Legion will post and retrieve the colors, and that those members who have agreed to participate need to meet at the post at 11 a.m. on Friday, November 7th. Next up, the Judge Advocate Susan McLean at the meeting entertained discussion about the Sydney Hometown Christmas and the Longview Bank Angel Tree. These events and projects will be discussed in more detail at the November 17th meeting of the American Legion. Post Commander Bill Hench brought the meeting to adjournment at 6:52 p.m. And the next monthly meeting will be held at the Post Home at 221 South David Street on Monday, November 17th at 6 p.m. Prospective new members are always welcome and encouraged to attend all monthly meetings unless otherwise posted, which are held at the Post Home. Next up, we have a report from the recent Tolono Downtown Improvement Meeting. This article by Diane Ducey, our staff writer. On Thursday, October 23rd, about 20 people gathered in the downtown Tolono Police Station to hear how upcoming improvement projects are progressing. There were copies of the 50-page action plan that the group Downtown Strategies put together as a framework for their revitalization vision. At the beginning of the meeting, after the Pledge of Allegiance and a prayer were offered, Village of Tolono Mayor Terrence Stuber suggested some ground rules be given for attendees to take note of during the input session. As one of four trustees from the Village Board in attendance, Vicki Buffo was asked to summarize her thoughts and mentioned how good it was to hear about small improvements that can be made as committees are formed. The best way to plug in your volunteer efforts is to report to the Village office and describe the area of the improvement plan where you could apply your skills. Overall, she believed it was a good discussion as the community provided their input and should soon follow up with actions to make things happen in this first stage of the five-year strategic action plan. On a side note, digital media platforms have been seeing pushback on social media from Trustee Daniel Grady, who claims to be cut off during his report about some zoning and ordinance issues. Grady seemed to feel that he needed more time to make his point and indicated that he wrote a letter to complete his thought. Another point of contention that has been trending involved a post on the Village of Tolono Facebook page that said, quote, "On October 20th, the Village decided to take the Public Works Department in a new direction and will be replacing the superintendent," close quote. With today's videos posted of government meetings, the vote to terminate Todd Heath happened in executive session. However, the reason was not disclosed. Next up, we have the Sydney Scoop, thanks to our correspondent, Anne Roten. And she reminds us that the seasonal rural Sydney business, Negengard Pumpkin Patch, continues to be open for 3 more days from 9 a.m. till dark through Halloween, October 31st. They still have lots to choose from for your fall decorating and Halloween fun, including a large assortment of pumpkins, gourds, Indian corn, squash, straw bales, and corn shuck bundles. Payment for purchases is by cash or check only. They also have farm animals for that you can feed and visit with. Negengard Pumpkin Patch is located at 1883 County Road 700 North in the Sydney Township between Sydney and Philo. You can call Mitch Negengard for more information. His number is 217-722-7866. In case you're wondering, the Village of Sydney trick-or-treat hours are Halloween night, Friday, October 31st, from 5 to 8 p.m. The next regular monthly meeting of the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees will take place on Monday, November 3rd at 7 p.m. in the Sydney Community Building at 211 East Main Street in Sydney. Veterans Day is fast approaching, and Unity East Elementary will host their annual Thanksgiving Luncheon and Veterans Day program on Friday, November 7th. All senior citizens and veterans are welcome to attend. Doors open at 12:05, 5 minutes after noon, and lunch will be served starting at 12:20. The Veterans Day program begins at 1 p.m., and they ask that those interested in attending please reserve a spot by calling Unity East Elementary at 217-684-5218. The Sydney American Legion will post and retrieve the colors for this popular Unity East Elementary event. The next meeting of the Sydney American Legion post will be on Monday, November 17th at 6 p.m., and all meetings are held at the post home in downtown Sydney. The Sydney Improvement Group is prepping for this year's Sydney Hometown Christmas event, and they've published vendor information for the Shop at Home part of the event, which is scheduled for Saturday, December 6th, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Sydney Community Building. The building will be open on Friday, December 5th from 5 to 7 p.m. and Saturday, December 6th at 7:30 a.m. for setup. The Shop at Home event will actually open to the public at 9 a.m. Vendors are reminded that they should bring their own tables, but chairs will be provided. Vendors should also bring their own extension cords and label them if they need power. Booth fee is $15, and you can make checks payable to the Sydney Improvement Group. That should then be mailed in to Donna Hooker, P.O. Box 354 in Sydney. She can also accept Zelle for the $15 booth fee. You can get vendor forms from the Sydney Improvement Group Facebook page, or you can contact Donna and request a form or get more information. Her number is 217-621-4929. There is now a published event schedule for all the activities planned so far for the Saturday, December 6th Sydney Hometown Christmas event, and you can find all this information at the Sydney Improvement Group's Facebook page. Scheduled activities so far include breakfast at Sydney United Church and the Shop at Home vendors at the Sydney Community Building. It's a full day of events starting at 8 a.m. for the breakfast and 9 a.m. for the Shop at Home event. Downtown Sydney activities taking place from 3 to 8 p.m. include a Christmas fun walk and run starting at 3 p.m. and a Christmas parade beginning at 5:30 p.m. on David Street in downtown Sydney. Have a great week, and we look forward to all kinds of holiday activities in Sydney. Next up, we have our weekly newsletter from the Philo Public Library. And they begin by asking, have you stocked up on goodies for Halloween? The Philo Library has, and we're hoping that lots of costumed kids will stop in and trick-or-treat with us. We will definitely have treats available between 6 and 7 p.m., and we encourage you to come in and have some fun. We'll have traditional sweet treats and some alternatives as well. We hope you'll stop in and let us see the great costumes the parents and kids have come up with this year in Philo. I remember, our writer notes, a few years ago, our first trick-or-treater was a 7-foot T-Rex, and he was great, even if he did get his tail stuck in the door. Another one from years back was dressed like then Indiana basketball coach Bobby Knight. We couldn't guess who this one was until he took a toy chair out of his bag and threw it across the room. Who could forget Bobby Knight doing that? Since our book supplier closed unexpectedly, we've been trying to order the books that should have been delivered, but we are making progress. Now we'll see how long it takes our new supplier to send us our requested books. There are not a lot of choices for mass market books, and we're thinking this sudden surge in orders may cause delays, but we'll do our best, and we will see. In the meantime, enjoy all your ghosts and goblins and superheroes coming trick-or-treating. Have a happy Halloween from everybody at the Philo Public Library. Next up, let's review the week at the Tolono Public Library. October is coming to an end, but that doesn't mean the fun is over. The Tolono Library has lots of great activities and events planned for November at the Tolono Public Library. Before we get to that, we still have a great event happening on Wednesday, October 30th. It's Family Movie Night. So join us from 6 to 8 p.m. for the Addams Family Movie. Come in your PJs or any comfy clothes and have some popcorn on us. On Monday, November 3rd, we have the Study Station and Teen Writing Workshop from 3:30 to 5 p.m. Next Tuesday, November 4th, we have Teen Dungeons and Dragons from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. We'll also have Study Station underway, focusing on K through 12 math from 3:30 to 5 p.m. On Wednesday, November 5th, we have Coffee Talk from 9 to 10 a.m. at the Tolono Historical Society. In November, we also have the Pound Workout, Coffee Talk, Study Stations, a used book sale, the Fab Lab, Teen Dungeons and Dragons, craft workshops, and much more. As always, please check out our Facebook page, our Instagram feed, and our website for the Tolono Public Library for all the information you'll want on upcoming events and programs. And now, of course, we're going to take a look up into the night sky with David Leakey, who's retired director of the Starkle Planetarium at Parkland College. This column covers the days from October 29th to November 4th. The end of the week brings us Halloween, he begins, when strange characters show up on our doorsteps looking for candy. Believe it or not, the date of Halloween has astronomical roots. It is one of four cross-quarter days, as they are called. Revelers celebrated these days in Europe as the days halfway between the first days of each season. So Halloween is roughly halfway between the autumn equinox and the winter solstice. What better excuse for a celebration, right? The other three cross-quarter days are Groundhog Day in February, May Day, and another called Lammas, which happens on August 1st. Though the last one never caught on in the United States. It originally was a celebration of the first grains of the harvest. A waxing gibbous moon will light the way for trick-or-treaters on Halloween. Look for it to the right of the planet Saturn, which will appear as a fairly bright star that night. In fact, those of you with telescopes may want to set up in your driveway to show our evening ghosts and goblins the actual ringed planet of Saturn. Okay, we know it won't substitute for a candy bar, but why not give the gift of science this year? Next up, we have some exciting news from the Champaign County 4-H, which has just been named the winner of the National Livestock Judging Contest. This article by Carissa Nelson, and it's Dateline, Kansas City, Missouri. The Champaign County 4-H Livestock Judging Team claimed first place at the American Royal Livestock Judging Contest held last Sunday in Kansas City, Missouri. This achievement earned the team an invitation to represent the United States at the International Livestock Judging Contest in Scotland in the summer of 2026. Team members Hunter Scheich, Morgan Hulse, Lane Byers, and Callie Turner topped the teams from across the nation in one of the most competitive youth livestock judging contests in the country. Coach Dan Scheich said, "Each one of our team members had to get to the next level to make this happen. They showed up practice after practice, remained consistent, and pushed themselves to improve. That commitment made all the difference. In addition to winning champion honors overall, the team also was named High Team in Oral Reasons and High Team in Swine Competition. They finished second High Team in Sheep and Goats category and sixth in the High Team in Cattle. This team is passionate about the livestock industry, and that passion drives them to be the best that they can," said Coach Jennifer Scheich. "They don't just want to win a contest, they want to make the industry better." Individual honors were also earned by many team members. Our congratulations to the Champaign County 4-H Livestock Judging Team. We all have news now from Rocket Nation, courtesy of our staff writer, Diane Ducey. And she begins, "Halloween comes at the end of the month. It's almost here. And with most of our towns doing trick-or-treat hours from 6 to 8 p.m. But let's get into some of the particulars. Sydney, Broadlands, and Villa Grove are starting their trick-or-treat hours at 5 p.m. Sydney is extending their trick-or-treating until 8:30 p.m. Villa Grove is going until 8 p.m. and St. Joseph is starting at 5:30. The Unity West PTO is scheduling their fall festival from 5 to 7 p.m. As our Rocket Nation gets into November, the first round of the playoffs has our football team hosting Mount Carmel at 2 p.m. this weekend. The Tolono Historical Society and Veterans Museum will be hosting the Tolono Public Library's Coffee Talk on Wednesday, November 5th at 9 a.m. John Moore, local photographer, whose winter scene picture was featured on a forever stamp that came out on September 20th. He will be presenting in the Coffee Talk on Wednesday, November 5th. Also take note of the presentation about the anniversary of D-Day with Lynn Warfel leading the discussion and showing pictures of his visit to Normandy between 10:30 and 1 p.m. on Veterans Day, November 11th. St. Patrick's Church welcomes people over age 55 to come to the church hall and share a side dish or dessert for $3 on the second Wednesday of the month, which is November 12th. Coffee hour starts at 10:30 and lunch begins at 11:30. The food pantry is open for senior citizens to get what they need on their way out. Official hours for the food pantry are 4:30 to 6 p.m. on Mondays. Unity East has been taking reservations for veterans to come to their school for a luncheon on Friday, November 7th. The Marines will be having their 250th anniversary celebration on Saturday, November 8th at the Elks Lodge behind Old Orchard, with the social hour beginning at 5:30. All branches of the military and their families and friends are welcome to join in the gala. The Richard L. Pittman Marine Corps League Detachment 1231 is taking email reservations, and you can call for more information at 217-419-1566. Attendees are invited to simply wear business casual attire. For the $50 fee per person, we'll offer prime rib or chicken marsala in a lovely meal that will include a twice-baked potato casserole, roasted veggies, garden salad, rolls, and a sheet cake with a cash bar. Guest speaker will be 104th District State Representative Brandon Schweizer, who served as an intelligence analyst and equal opportunity advisor during his 21-year career with the Marines. Schweizer lives in Danville with his wife Amy and their three sons. We're now going to return to our front page headlines. I've saved the bad news for the last, and that headline is, natural gas rates are likely to increase for Ameren and Nicor customers next year. Customers across Illinois could face increased natural gas rates next year based on proposed decisions in two proceedings before the Illinois Commerce Commission. The regulatory agency, which oversees gas utilities, is considering two requests from Nicor Gas and Ameren Illinois. A five-member panel of commissioners appointed by Governor Pritzker will make the final decision in the cases this November. But administrative judges overseeing the cases have released proposed decisions which suggest cutting Nicor and Ameren's requests by about one-third. Ameren, which has about 800,000 customers throughout downstate Illinois, originally asked for a $129 million increase in January, or about $100 per year, equivalent to about a 13% increase for residential customers, according to the Citizens Utility Board, a consumer watchdog group. The proposed decisions cut Ameren's request by about $43.7 million, according to the CUB, the Citizens Utility Board. Ameren officials said the cuts bring the increase down to about $5.80 per month, or about $70 per year for the typical customer. Even with the proposed increase, our distribution rates remain among the lowest of any major natural gas utility in Illinois, and the total bill for an average residential customer under the proposed rates continues to remain in line with the Consumer Price Index, according to Nicor spokesperson Jennifer Goles. Brad Kleppel, Ameren's Senior Director of Gas Operations, defended his company's request for higher rates by saying that the majority of the increased revenue will go toward safety upgrades and compliance with federally required safety testing. 50% of the pipes on our system are over 50 years old, Kleppel said. We have to design, operate, and maintain our system to provide gas service on the oldest, on the coldest hour of the coldest day. Ameren's rate increase also includes pilot programs that could swap gas service in some areas for electric service and for an incentive program for renewable natural gas. This is a method of capturing methane from landfills and other sources that would otherwise be released as a pollutant. This concludes our reading of the October October 29th edition of the Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and I invite you to join us again next week.